Hamilton. You're listening to Indy 101.5 FM. CIOI.
You're listening to a show called Dangerfield on Indy 101.5. I'm Mary, and tonight my guest is Canadian musician Sam Roberts. For the past 20 years, he has played with his band, the Sam Roberts Band, touring and releasing multi-award-winning albums. Since 2019, he's also been a part of a project known as the Anyway Gang. Anyway Gang is a Canadian supergroup consisting of Sam Roberts, Chris Murphy from Sloan, Menno Versteeg from Colorado, Dave Monks from Tokyo Police Club. So tonight we'll be chatting about this band and their music and playing songs from their album. So welcome to the show, Sam. Thanks for joining.
Thanks, Mary. It's good to see you and good to be back on the show. Awesome. I'm going to count all the time. This is my second time on
Dave.
So I'm going to count. Awesome. And then I want to know, like, who else has been on the show more than one time?
You know what? It's Amy McGraw has been on twice. Mm-hmm. Jason Kent. There's someone else. I can't remember.
There is competition going on. I just want to make sure that I know.
Yeah, what's happening? It's the album cycle now, because like I've been doing this for, I guess, 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. So pretty much the people that I know are kind of usually in like a 2 year cycle for albums. So yeah.
Oh, so just on that note, that means that because we're talking about Anyway Gang today,
yes,
that when we have another record ready for my other band,
you are right.
I can come right back on. All right. Nice.
Awesome. So why don't we start off the show with a song of yours off your latest album from Anyway Gang. And the song's called Remember to Forget. Mm-hmm.
Outside looking in, you can bring a horse to water, but you'll never make him swim. They said you got a lot of heart, kid, I liked you from the start. Just that everybody else is so much quicker on the draw. True hearts and easy to find. Just don't look no further than this heart of mine. These scars are here to remind us how we've been here before. It's just a matter of time. To the bar, pretty soon I'm seeing stars. We drink to remember to forget who we are. Away from all the city lights, all the traffic in your mind, all the hits, all the misses, Tom Sharper than an eye. True hearts and easy to find. Just don't look no further than this heart of mine. These scars are here to remind us how we've been. Son, you're gonna wind up where I am. Take a bite out of life. Take some time, do it right. What you give to the day, you can steal from the night. True hearts and easy to find. Just don't look no further than this heart of mine. These scars are here to remind us how we've been here before. It's just a matter of time. True hearts and easy.
That was Remember to Forget by Anyway Gang, and Sam Roberts from that band joins me tonight on Dangerfield. If you'd like to listen to or find their music, you can find them online at all on all the streaming platforms. maybe you could take us kind of just through how you all came to be, like how the band, how you all ended up together, because you're all in different bands, like mm-hmm. currently. So how did this project come about?
Well, it started a few years prior to, did you say 2019?
Yeah.
Okay. So 2019 was the official, again, I'm short on details and in stature. So, it must have been 2016 or so that Menno and I were having drinks at a bar, and I think we just finished playing hockey together or something, because he's also a big hockey fan, and he brought up this idea for a space rock opera that was in the works in his mind. Now, Menno has a lot of different ideas and projects going on at any given moment. This was his sort of passion project at the time. And he wanted me to play, I don't know, I was assuming the starring role.
Like act in it? Or
I don't know.
Okay.
We had been drinking quite a bit. But I remember having, you know, when you're nodding and saying yes, but in something deep inside you saying this, never, ever, ever do this. Mm-hmm. So we were, you know, I was saying, yeah, man, yeah, sounds great, man. Sounds great. I'm in. But then when I went home, and you know, when you wake up the next morning, you're doing this sort of review of the previous night's regrets and everything. The one thing that stuck out is like, holy shit, the space opera. Like, I said yes, but there's no way. I'm not an actor, and I'm certainly not into theatrical.
Right.
Anyway.
What are we going to do about the gravity situation?
Everything. I'm like, this is a terror. So fast forward a couple of years, Menno calls me up, and he says, I've got an idea for, a band with a bunch of different guys. I just said yes without even asking who else, because I thought that it was going to distract them from the rock opera. This no word of a lie. I was just like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
And then he told me who else was going to be in it, and I was like, well, I'm less interested now. You know, except I like Dave Monk, but Chris Murphy, I don't know. It's a little strange, you know. But so we started that sort of process of reaching out to the other guys. And then Chris Murphy was like, that's not true, because I was like, is Chris in or not? And yeah. Man was like, yeah, Chris is in. And then he said the same thing to Chris. And Chris is like, is Sam in or is this not? And he's like, before I'd actually answered.
Classic move.
Yeah, classic move. So next thing you know, Chris and I are like, are you in? And he's like, yeah, well, you said you're in. And I was like, well, okay, I guess we're starting this band.
And had you toured, Sam, so you'd done a tour with Colorado, like you guys did like a 2017 or something, you did tour with them, and you've played on Bills with Sloan, but had you toured with Sloan before?
We'd never toured with Sloan, but
just Bills.
We played a few shows with them.
And then what about Tokyo Police Club?
Same thing, festival bills only.
Okay.
Did I ever tell you the story, or did Nuge ever tell you the story about when he met Dave from Tokyo Police Club and he thought he was the lead singer of Spoon? And he went up.
No and, way. Brit Daniel, Dave, they kind of look. Yeah, they kind of do look alike.
And we were at the lunch counter at a festival, and Nuge goes up to him. He's like, "Hey, man, I just wanted to say I'm a little intimidated to meet you right now because I love your band." And Dave from Tokyo Police Club was like 19 years old at the time. Like, really? He's like, okay, thanks, I guess.
Oh my gosh. That's funny. Did they clear it up in the moment, or did this continue?
No, this took years to clear up.
Oh, really?
Actually. Yeah. And Dave must have walked away thinking, like, wow, that singer of Spoon is a lot younger than I thought he was going to be. But so then Dave Monks and I met again at a festival a few years back, and just kind of hit it off and played some tunes in the backstage area together. But I didn't know him that well beyond that. So, no better way to get to know somebody than to start a band with them.
That is true.
You really get the nuts and bolts.
Let's play another song. Let's play Reckless Reckless.
All right.
I think I love you too.
Reckless by the Anyway Gang. You can find them online on Instagram.com/AnywayGangMusic and AnywayGang.bandcamp.com. And so, Sam, this was the second album that you put out with Anyway Gang. And so Gus Van Gogh, did he produce both of them?
He produced the first one. A guy named Trevor Anderson. Not Trevor Anderson, my childhood friend from the High Dials.
High Dials, yeah.
But he has the same name. But he was the sort of producer engineer on the record. It was kind of weird at the beginning because we didn't really know how this record was going to
get
together.
Well, because I figured
mechanically speaking.
Because you've all been around for so many years. And so you have your system and your groove of, like, I'm sure how you work in a studio and how you get your process done. So did you take away anything different from working with this group than that you would now do differently in your working? Or was it more like you?
No, I was like, no, we were on the right track all along. Let's just stick to what we know.
And so then how did you, Casey, tell me how the songs all came together. So do you each bring a song to the table? Like, tell me more about how this all kind of technically works and creatively.
Yeah, it was all kind of a bit up in the air at the beginning, but the idea was that everybody brought two songs
to
the table. And which was, I guess, for all of us in our respective bands, maybe Chris the exception, because everybody in Sloan writes, you know, a song, their songs for the records. But for the rest of us, like, I always have to show up with the songs for our record. And so the thought of, it was almost more pressure to only have to write two.
Yeah.
Because that means you can't have seven B-sides on it, you know? It's like you got to show up with your two.
Yeah, and then I was
two bangers
wondering,
all the time.
How does it, like, so the songs that you brought to the table, so if you're each bringing two songs, like, are you then bringing them and then expanding on them together? Or are they done and then the people play on them? Like, how does that work?
I think the first and second record had a pretty different, starting point for each, in terms of the songs. The first one, they were just sort of, some of them were fully fleshed out ideas. Mm-hmm. Others were parts of songs but you don't really know how your sort of collaborative efforts are going to work.
And was it all done remotely? Like, were you guys collaborating, or did you actually all get together for each of them, I guess, each of them?
Yeah, no, we went into the studio both times in Toronto.
Okay.
And we just sort of, I don't know, I felt that a shyness maybe is the right word, but just because I hadn't really sat in a room and collaborated on a song and said, like, oh, I like that, or, you know, what do you think of this? It's that sort of classic thing where you imagine, I guess, how sort of songwriting partnerships work, where you're sort of bouncing ideas off each other, and you have to be super open-minded and accommodating, but also dig in your heels when you think an idea is, you know, the right one. And so it was a learning experience for me, for sure. But you get into it after a while. You get into the sort of spirit of the whole thing, and the enthusiasm. There's an enthusiasm, like, when things are moving in the right direction. The fact that you're all doing this together, I think, was a big part of why the records sort of feel the way they do. And it actually found its way into the record, like the energy of the recording, I thought.
Because how you credit the song, because, like, that, I'm curious, because, like, how the songs are credited, like, you're all equal. So it's like, it just says, like, all four of you wrote it, on the second, the latest album at least. Because when I was looking at the credits, it just says, like, music and whatever by all four of you. But
that's a lie.
It didn't seem like I was, because I can hear the different.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can hear, least I can. Yeah. Maybe not to everybody else, but for me, it's blatantly obvious which songs belong to which people, you know. And you don't realize how idiosyncratic you are as a songwriter until you put your songs in the mix and try to make it all feel like one sort of unbroken whole sort of thing. And I realized that I do certain things without thinking about doing them. And Chris writes a certain way. It could be just in terms of, like, the kinds of chords that you choose.
Like the backup vocals.
How many, as Chris calls it, a chord circus, you know, and it's just like so many chords.
Yeah.
And I guess lyrically as well, like what you sort of gravitate towards. It was really, it was an eye-opening experience to sort of throw my songs into the mix. But the challenge then became, how do we make this feel like a band?
For the first album, you had like two, you were challenged to bring two songs. So then how did that then inform how you wrote the songs for the next one, kind of what you learned from working together? So, and did you guys have like a theme in mind for the second one, or how did that, like, how did you kind of kickstart the next one? Were you just kind of, because obviously you're writing your songs now for your Sam Roberts band. Mm-hmm. So how do you separate the two? Like, did you guys identify like in advance what you were going to do for the second album, or did it just kind of naturally happen?
The first one had more of a sort of clearly stated objective, which is to be a Canadian version of the Traveling Wilburys.
Right.
It was like very out in the open as to like what. Yeah. So there were a lot of, the idea was to have a lot of that sort of train shuffle beat
jangly
background and jangly, you know.
And did you each identify with which Wilbur you would be?
We never really had that conversation. I mean, Chris is definitely Roy Orbison.
Right.
Although he now will tell you that he's been alive longer than Roy Orbison ever lived. So,
sorry to cut you off there, but I'm just having a tangent thought here. But when I read that you guys play like on your recent tour that you did, so you toured across, across Canada or across the West to here. But that you did a thing where you played your song Big Night twice in a set, right? Yeah. So did you do that every night, or was that just like one-offs?
It was born out of the blueprint for our shows was the one show, I believe you were there, in January of 2020 at the Horseshoe.
No, I wasn't there.
You weren't there?
No, yeah, I've never seen you guys.
Mary.
I know. Sorry.
I just lost the thread of my story. I think I'm shocked.
Sorry. Well, you know what? To be fair to me, Sam, it was like I'm a little like it was weird for me to have you go join another band. It felt like cheating on my. It was weird.
I know.
Emotionally difficult for me.
Listen, that's why I wanted you to go, so we could just like get it out there. I know.
But this is the gate. This is the gateway here.
That's it. Well, so we played one show.
Okay.
And right after that, it was COVID. So that was the end of all, not just Anyway Gang shows, but all shows. So we played one show at the Horseshoe, and we only had, there are only nine songs on both records have nine songs on them. And so that's, and they're short songs. So it's 33 minutes of material. Chris and Menno do a lot of talking. So add 20 minutes of of chat time to that. So you're at 55 minutes. That's still a pretty short show. So yeah. we played Walk of Life by Dire Straits. And what was the other cover? It'll come back to me. But then, was it Billy Idol? Dancing with Myself? I can't remember. But then we realized that we're still kind of short for time.
Right.
So we played Big Night again, which is kind of how records used to be. If you bought a Yardbirds record, you know, in the 1960s, the single would be the first song and the last song.
Yeah, like, I was like Pigs on the Wing.
You know, I was like, that's such a cool, you know, that's a cool way to bookend.
That's kind of a bookend.
Yeah, it's bookend the show. Mm-hmm. So we did that, and it was great. And there was a sort of noticeable difference between Big Night 1 versus Big Night 2.
And what was the difference? I was curious. Like, was it just faster and more like the crowds more at like?
Yeah, the crowds just sort of you kind of realize by doing that you can really sort of get a feel for what the crowd is like when you walk onto the stage and everybody's just sort of getting into the mood and getting their feet moving a bit and, you know, loosening up the shoulders and the band's sort of, you know, getting the nerves out. And a song like that's great because it just sort of throws everything on the table right off the bat and it sort of leaves little to the imagination as to what our intentions are on stage. And then you play it again at the end of the night and people are you realize that as much as they were into it the first time, that there are so many different levels that they can get to through the course of a show. And so we decided on this tour, why just play it twice when we can come back for a third time.
So it would be like, so what order in the set list? It would start and then it would end.
It would start and end. And then it was the start and then the encore. Mm-hmm. No, the first encore, because we scripted that we were going to have two encores.
Basically. Right.
Whether the crowd was still like calling our names or not. So we played Big Night. Then we finished like the regular set. We come back. We would play it for the first song of the it was the last song of the encore. Then we would get off stage, wait like 30 seconds before people started to leave, and then run back up on the stage and then play Big Night again. And this time we went down into the crowd.
Okay.
Play the show.
It's funny because what I enjoyed about kind of preparing for this interview was like, I just ended up on all these like tangents and rabbit holes. And like next thing you know, I'm like, oh, I should be preparing questions. And I'm in this like deep dive into like, oh, anyway, gang, I wonder if that's any like play on Gang of Four. But so I went down this rabbit hole of bands that play songs twice in a set. And I'll send you the link after because it's really interesting. It's like, you know, people like doing it one like acoustic and then one electric, or a lot of people have done it twice because they're like filming a show or something. But yeah, I'll send you the link. It's quite interesting.
And I'd like to know, are there bands that play it three times?
I haven't seen that in my research.
And I want to say we might have done it four times in a night. And the thing was, is that what I found remarkable was that instead of it feeling worse, that it kept getting better.
Yeah.
And people at first, like, were they like, what is this actually happening? And then they got more into it.
Right.
By the end of the third time, it had reached like a complete fever pitch. Oh, and then we used it as our walk-off music as well.
That is awesome. Like, and I just remember one of the things that came up in the link when I was reading it was the band had forgotten they'd played the song. And so they were like, Neil Young did it once. And they were like, I think he's forgotten that he just played this. No, I like the intentionality.
It was very intentional. And it was, it ended up being, I think, the blueprint for shows to come now.
You know?
I mean, we're going to see how far we can go with this because it almost becomes like a meditative state after a while for you and the audience. They're like, okay, we're still in this.
Oh,
the rehearsals for this tour happened in Toronto. So they would kind of get the songs built up. And then I would, because I live in Montreal, I'm the only person who lives out of town. So I would kind of come in when the songs were already sort of, and we I should mention, we have Nick Boyd also from Colorado and Anduris and Adam Hindo playing on the song. And they, you know, they do a lot of the, because you got to leave room for Menno and Chris to talk and for stage antics.
And now, is it the same banter every night? Like, do they have a shtick?
Oh, it's a shtick, all right. It's a comedy show.
Well, I was following
it's a
along your
comedy show.
I was like, following along Chris's Instagram posts, talking to me, your roommate.
Like, one thing I'll say, Chris, you know, he takes his comedy very seriously. Like, we would listen to comedy podcasts, comedy shows in the car, so he would be getting his mojo working, and then like getting dialing in his material, and then you get on stage, and some nights we're, you know, just dead on, and it's 50% of the show.
Okay,
like literally, and people are like, "What kind of show is this? What kind of band is this?" Yeah. I'm standing on stage going, "What kind of band is this?"
Right.
And I just sit there and you know,
You're not much of a banter guy.
I'm not a banter guy at all. I say hey like five times in a show.
Yeah.
Evenly spaced out. I don't talk, you know. So this is like culture shock for me. And half the time I'm the butt end of the joke too. So I have to sit there and like I'm like taking it from both sides.
Oh my goodness.
So but the best was that I mean, we've all between all our bands, we've all played bad shows. We've all gotten off stage and gone, you know, like that was just a real stinker, and get bummed out, and hopefully you have a chance to play again the next night and redeem yourself. But I've never seen anybody as down after a show than Chris and Menno when the bombs were dropping on stage, like when the jokes were going over. It was way worse than any musical mistakes I've ever witnessed. And they, you know, be standing there backstage after just like mulling over like what went wrong.
Right.
I'm thinking of Edmonton specifically, like the jokes just went, I'll let them, hopefully you can interview them. They can tell you the nature of the joke.
Okay.
You never make jokes about hockey in Edmonton during the playoffs against Calgary. And that's where that was like the starting point. I'll leave it at that. But anyway, after the show, just sitting there, I'm like, what did you think was going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Did you think that was going to go over well? And they're sitting there, but they're completely just wrecked by this failed comedy experience. Nobody cared.
Have they ever done like tried stand up like in as a separate thing, or this is the way to get their feet wet?
I don't know. I feel like everybody's diversifying these days, you know? You just have to. It's hard to put all your eggs in one basket,
right.
Especially if that basket is music.
Right.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, listen, let's, speaking of music, let's play another song. What song do you want to play? Why don't you pick a song? Let's play one of the songs that you brought to the table.
Well, we already did. So I think that was Remember to Forget.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite.
That I brought to the table. What are the names of the other songs?
Well, I was gonna play. We've got What's Left of My Love.
That one.
Is that a Chris one?
That's a Chris one.
Yeah.
That's a Chris Upper.
Yeah. So let's listen to What's Left of My Love by Anyway Gang, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Come and get what's left of my love. Come and get it. Oh. Come and get what's left of my love. Come and get it. Oh. We touched base. I lost some symmetry in my face, and you got me into fitness. I'm going to God as my witness. Come and get what's left of my love. Come and get it. Oh, come and get what's left of my love. Come and get it. Oh, I found someone who lets me be myself. I like her more than anybody else. In a minute, but she doesn't care. When we knew everyone knew frozen. talking into talking back. Cause we've been around the block and back. I only hope that you begin to remember I'm the one you're into. Regaining symmetry in my face. Electric needles in it just in case. I'm up for sale and I got zero bids. And it's your turn to pick up the kiss. Come and get it. What's left of my love. Come and get it.
What's Left of My Love by Anyway Gang, and Sam Roberts from that band joins me tonight on Dangerfield. If you want to listen to their music, you can check them out at anywaygang.bandcamp.com or at instagram.com/anywaygangmusic.
Chris and I are roommates now, by the way.
So I noticed that from the Dear Diary entry.
And with that comes like a whole other dimension to our relationship. Chris changes his socks 10 times a day. That was something that I had to adapt to. That was like, which is great, you know?
I wanted to ask you about, like, what did you guys listen to in the van? You mentioned before there was a lot of comedy podcasts. What kind of stuff did you listen to?
We just listened to comedy.
Really?
That's a lot of comedy. I know so much more about comedy than I did a month ago.
Right. Yeah. And so the other question I had is, did you guys ever talk to each other about what your, like, so if you're talking like what your favorite songs are of each other's from the other bands? So like, has they ever told you what their favorite Sam Roberts song is? And like that, so you never talk about each other's music?
No, we just talk about our
project. Correct.
Well, no, I think we talk about our band lives more than anything.
Okay.
Not the music,
yeah.
Specifically, just. It, you know, not to sound too corny or anything, but it is nice to hang out with other people who live the same way that you do and have done so for a long time. There's not that many people out there who you can relate to on that front.
Yeah. And
so, you know, all joking aside about Chris changing his socks 10 times a day, which he does, okay, just to reiterate, but just to, you know, be able to talk about what it's like to be in a band and to have somebody there that you can sort of bounce that off for, you know, on a daily basis was
and it's interesting because you were talking about, so I was thinking about your, like, you and Chris are like, Chris is a bit older than you, right? And then there's you, and then is it Menno,
and then Dave.
Are there generation things that you find, like references that you might make that they won't know?
Yeah, I mean, not Menno necessarily. Menno's close enough to it. Chris is definitely from, you know, Chris and I come, you know, where your childhood was still like, you remember the 1970s.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
That's a different thing. Mm-hmm. You remember more browns and oranges being a part of the world, you know, and like a mustardy yellow.
And like a lot of dangerous things that just seemed totally normal.
Yeah, absolutely. Like lead paint was everywhere, you know, but so definitely that. And Chris is a student of pop culture, you know, and has been his whole life. So he'll bring up, you know, music or TV shows from that time all the time. And yeah, Dave, but on the other end of the spectrum, Dave being younger and sort of more plugged into the way people think and the way people talk these days and the music they listen to. And so it was an education on both. And again, I'm squeezed in the middle. I really found myself in the middle in this band.
I can feel it by your demeanor. Just sense some bewilderment.
Yeah, I was.
Or bemusement or whatever.
Oh, yeah. It was all of the above, you know?
That's awesome, but fun. And so, like, it must have been kind of like, but that's another interesting thing, too. So, like, you guys made two albums, but you hadn't toured before. Like, so are you planning on doing it again? Or is this something, like, I know you're playing Hillside Festival.
Playing Hillside, yeah.
And then?
Then we're going to let the dust settle.
Okay.
And then we're going to take stock of everything that we've experienced. Right. No, we had a great time. And the crazy thing is that it was all of our first tour, like post COVID, like the first time that we went.
Oh, yeah.
So it was kind of, it was a real trial by fire, I think, for this band to be, to have to sort of carry that mantle.
Yeah.
You know, to come out of COVID, to go back into clubs, to be back on the road, all the travel aspects, everything, and sort of navigate those murky waters, you know. And I think we all realized that we still love playing music, and that we, you know, we were very happy to be together. So it was it was great. I know we're going to do it again. I joke about it, but Menno doesn't take no for an answer. First of all, he's already talking about the third record.
Well, I was reading up on that, on his band, and like, and you mentioned before how he kind of has all these ideas, and I saw that they did this kind of neat project where they like got people to send in facts about themselves, and then they wrote an album. Like it was like that kind of makes you look at how you come up with ideas differently, right? Like being around that kind of thinking, right?
Yeah, the speed of it all, you know, and not getting too precious about your songs and your music, which is something that, you know, I'll sit here for months.
Yeah.
And just not play anything for anybody until I feel like I've gotten to a certain place with the song. And that, anyway, Gang doesn't allow for that.
Because if someone sits on it for 20, like 10 years, you're like, just put it out there, see what people think, because it sounds great, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, putting a song through its paces before you sort of consider its final version. But yeah, definitely, I think in this band, and it's not like it's just throwing paint at the wall either. Mm. I think there's a lot of musical intent and also, I guess at that point, several lifetimes worth of experience when it comes to songwriting and recording. And you feel that everybody's really comfortable in the environment. And then you bring in somebody like Gus who can make, you know, spin magic out of thin air. So,
and I read that, together, the four of you, I think you've got cumulatively a total of like 60 or something nominations for Junos collectively. So quite the accomplishments.
I hadn't heard that statistic.
Yeah, let me try and find it here.
Statistics are important.
I know they are. So I was like, because I thought of you when I and actually that's the other thing I wanted to mention, because I know that statistics are important to you, is that you need to update some of your lyrics on any other sites that people can read your lyrics on. So they're not all of them are on there.
But but I kind of thought that the whole fun was to have people, you know, say what they think the lyrics to the song
are. Yeah, I don't listen to lyrics, so I'm fine.
And then it becomes this beautiful game of broken telephone around the world where people think it's, you know.
The other thing is, I did look though at your setlist.fm stats to see kind of like what songs that you play the most, but I guess it's,
I kind of know what they are, I suppose, at this point, mainly because you kind of realize that songs in a set, and we went through this with Anyway Gang too. You can't have all, you don't necessarily have all your favorite songs as part of a set list because it comes down to pacing and tempos more than anything. You can't have all really fast frenetic songs, and you can't have all sort of just those nice sort of meditative mid-tempo songs finding that balance. And then you realize that you only have certain songs that do perform certain tasks, necessary tasks in the set. And those are kind of like the tent poles that keep it standing. And then everything in between, that's where you can sort of dig into the well a little bit.
And then what was your song ordering process like for these albums? How did you come to that?
Again, you know, something that this was all about sort of relinquishing responsibilities and duties.
Right.
So it was, I think we all have those feelings where it's like, I really like this song coming. And you and I have had extensive conversations about this sort of thing, about set lists and track lists or whatever, and what kind of experience you create to it. But I really just sort of, I find that all these songs were very interchangeable that way, and that you didn't have to worry too much about sort of creating a narrative through it. And they all, I think they were all written to be standalone as well. And that's what I really like about the records, is that you can put it on shuffle and it'll, you know, deliver something different to you every time.
I agree. I like that song. Can I play this song?
You can play all the, you're the DJ.
Yeah. I like this song. Where is it? Eyes of Green from the first album.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a Menno song. And we've sort of had it. We've had a Dave song. Reckless was Dave. One of my songs. And
oh yeah. We've done four each then.
A Chris song and then a Menno and Eyes of Green.
Yeah. Let's do that then. Okay. So this is Eyes of Green off Anyway Gang's first album. And Sam Roberts from that band joins me tonight.
Our love was an explosion born of gravity and light. I crawl out of your ocean, your beauty tied me inside. You gave me your sunshine, your skin to keep me warm. Your hurricane soon became my sleepy golden storm. But it's too late to look back.
Sam Roberts from that band joins me tonight on Dangerfield. What does Anyway Gang mean? Because it could, to me, it could either mean direction, or it can mean like whatever, you know, like anyway.
Well, Chris says it. Chris came up with the name, and he says it's a sort of reference to something that the comedian Don Rickles would say, like, anyway gang. And
okay, and that's why you've t-shirts or something that had that, or they were
exactly,
yeah.
Did those t-shirts make the cut? I'm not
I
sure.
I don't think so. I don't know.
They didn't. I like the Don Rickles head.
I liked it
anyway
too.
Gang on it, but yeah, so that was a sort of clue as to where the
where the
band name came from.
That's interesting.
I'm trying to remember some of the other band. There was some Oh, carpool tunnel syndrome. That might have been an album title again. But yeah, God, I don't know why that didn't.
Good. I like that. Carpool, you got to use that. That's awesome. That's really funny. Who's that, Chris?
I don't remember. Boom. That was from the first record when we were, you know, the heady days of the first record.
And did you, who named the albums? Or what? How did you decide on the album names?
The Still Anyways was one of my creations. I'll take responsibility. You're never quite sure if you should take ownership of an idea, but I'll admit to it. But again, that process is pretty, it's all over the place.
Right.
As with most things in this band, you know, it's just, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Kind of a beautiful chaos and then.
Yeah, and fun. That's
and
cool.
fun.
Yeah.
I think that's why, you know, we don't like to say it because nobody wants to talk about music that way.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea of this was to.
Right.
To get, not that our other bands are dark and
right.
pressure filled, you know, it's mm-hmm. to be further from the truth, but. This was just a way to, again, re-examine how you write songs, re-examine yeah. how you work in the studio, what touring feels like, what it feels like to be on stage, what it feels like to be riding in the van. Yeah. Everything is the same, but it's different.
Well, I have only you to thank for my loneliness. I have only you to thank for this sacrilegious heart. And I would empty the bank for some tenderness. Stick my head in the sand, let the whole world fall apart. And you know I find it so unfair. Take all the dues for this hole in my heart. And it ain't over yet, cause there's no end to this. No end to the bruises living in your house of cards. And you know I find it so unfair that you can read my mind. Even though you lay my cards bare, I will take all the love that I can find. Superstitious mind and this echo in my chest. Each night I walk the plank and tumble into bliss. Stick my hands in the fire, you always say it's for the best. And you know I find it so unfair that you can read my mind. Even though you lay my covers bare, I will take all the loves that I can find.
You should feel open to asking people or you know, not just asking the questions that you want to ask, mm-hmm. but in the format that you choose, because I think that's when it gets interesting.
Yeah.
And if it's too much of that sort of question and answer format, mm-hmm. then you know, someone like myself or, you know, other musicians who've answered the same questions, you know,
over and over,
hundreds of times. And you sort of, you try to put a new spin on it or a new face on it, but it's still, I think it's just that feeling isn't there for it anymore. So to sit and have a conversation and just see where it goes is always the best way to talk about music, I find. I saw your Father's Day magazine, you know, I mean, as a dad, if my kids ever did anything for me, like, I'd be crying for a week. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, it was fun to do. Well, listen, Sam, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
And, thank you, Mary. It's always nice to talk to you, and I'm looking forward to episode number 3 at some point down the line.
We're never gonna let it die.